Welcome to Tavern Tales Jr., Humblewood Edition. This is a Dungeons & Dragons 5e actual play podcast for kids and adults. In Tavern Tales Jr., we will take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure, but this time, we're all burbs. This podcast is created by and for kids. So let's see what heights we can reach today, because we're burbs.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free, through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me, and I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come, and we'll leave the street in these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
Rita flies up into the air, an immaculate vision of this beautiful red-breasted robin, her ukulele in one hand, having strummed a beautiful melody below that knocked everything to the ground, has risen above the fog cloud and above the ability for the wolves to attack. And on their turn, which it is now as we begin the second round of combat, the wolves move in amongst the fog, but do not find their way out of it. They are moving and hunting. Now, because they are made of fire and living flame, these wolves, when they move around, they can be seen by gouts of flashing fire as the fog itself gets erupted and burned and steamed off. But you cannot quite see them as they move, but you can tell they are getting closer and closer and closer to the tree. It is now Tim's turn.
I'm going to jump off this treehouse into the middle of the fog and cast Thunder Wave.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, just have it blast right off of you. You will remove all of the fog. The fog cloud will be gone as soon as you do this.
And I'm going to say, Omaiwa musindai nani?
Okay. I've never heard you say that before for Thunder Wave. But let's go back one half a second. You still had a bonus action on your turn there, Rita, at the end of the round. Was there anything else you wanted to do after you flew up into the air?
I'm going to bardically inspire Tim.
Oh, great. What do you say?
It's probably before I erupt into flight. It's like a cutback. She just finished the April song. And now it's Tim, 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 go. Tim, yeah, yeah, Tim, Tim. Destroy these dudes. Because we're the spellcaster, spellcaster, spellcaster.
Okay, I love it. I would think you'd have to do it after you flew up because you have to be able to see him. And he has to be able to see you. Maybe, I don't know. I don't remember Bardic Inspiration for that regard. Maybe he just has to hear your voice. But he hears your voice cry out. It's Tim's turn after the wolves have moved. He leaps down to cast Thunder Wave. Now, remember, you still have your spiritual weapon out. It is still glowing and flying in the air within the fog. What would you like to do with it?
When I'm doing Thunder Wave, I'm going to make it spin in a circle.
Oh.
So it can pierce through some of the...
That is brilliant. You are so smart. You're like, rather than have disadvantage on my attack with the thing, I see what you've done with Fog Cloud, and it's rather brilliant. You've stymied the wolves from being able to get to burning anything else so you could engage with them on your own terms. Okay, brilliant. Make an easy athletics check to leap from the top there, glide down, and land amongst the fire wolves.
10.
Yeah, that's enough. You did not need to do much more than that to get down there and land. You don't land prettily, but no one can see you land either because it's in the fog, so it doesn't really matter.
I do a superhero land.
You try to, and you wind up just like kind of plowing onto your belly, but nobody notices. And no one can tell in the podcast because, again, you're surrounded by the fog and you get up and a point centering on you means that you can direct it to go out from you or behind you like a fart or to one side of you like an arm fart or in front of you like a sneeze, or you could have it come from the middle of you and go all around you.
All around me.
And I figured that's what you were going to do. So you're going to force them to all make dexterity saving throws.
How I make my thunder waves, I slam my hammer onto the ground, startling all of them. and I cast Thunderwave while my spiritual weapon is spinning around.
Yeah, your spiritual weapon is going to make its attack afterwards, which means it won't have disadvantage on its strike. So what do you do when you cast Thunderwave? What do you say?
In the name of Gaspard, let thunder destroy these wolves.
Perfect. So they are going to have to make, I think it's a dexterity saving throw, or is it a constitution saving throw?
Constitution saving throw.
Great. The difficulty there, as you've said before, is 14. So I need to roll 12 or higher on these checks. Can you just look on your spell sheet? I think you have written some of your spell words on there. Have you not?
It's healing words.
Healing word has it. Okay, here we go. I'm going to roll their saving throws. I failed on each and every single one of them, and they're plus two. I have a 4, a 7, and a 9. Okay, so what do you do for damage with Thunder Wave? While you're looking that up to figure out your damage, Sav, how much damage did you do with your Chromatic Orb Lightning?
Even worse, I did 6 damage.
And that was against the Black Wolf again?
They also get pushed away 10 feet.
Oh my goodness, yes, they get pushed 10 feet.
I think one of them should bonk into the tree.
Oh, I don't want him to get too close to the tree. I think you're going to push them further away from the tree and keep them away from burning this beautiful tree in the treehouse down.
2d8.
Yes, so roll your 2d8.
8 damage.
Okay, 8 damage to all of them. That's incredible.
And then 10 feet pushed back. And then also now I need to do my spiritual weapon.
Yes, your spiritual, the fog is blown away and the three wolves turn and look with shock and surprise. They can see Tim now and their eyes narrow and the flame gouts further and higher and brighter off of them as they all turn and pick themselves up to face you as your spiritual weapon spear stabs down upon which one?
The alpha.
The alpha, the black one itself. Sure, yeah, the spear strikes out with a lashing, piercing blow as it spins towards it and you roll your attack. Just 1d20. How'd you do?
So that's 25.
Holy moly, you definitely have hit well and true right in the
heart.
Right in the heart, the chest of the beast, this fire wolf gets stabbed through, and you roll your damage.
1d8.
Plus your spellcasting ability modifier, which is plus 4. So 1d8 plus 4. Go for it.
8.
Excellent. The creature looks badly hurt as it yowls and a burning timbre.
Can I fly away?
So you have used your action to leap down. And it is an action to fly for your character. Also, you're wearing heavy armor, so you can't fly or glide very far. You could move away if you would like to. Where will you go? Towards the tree or away from the tree?
Towards the tree and climb.
Are you sure you want to go towards the tree? Because the wolves were set upon burning the tree down, and they will do so if they get close to it.
I guess I lead them to the forest?
No, okay, you leave elsewhere within the glade so they can't burn anything. I like that. That's a good choice. So you turn and you sprint outside of the range of these creatures, and you don't get to go too far because it's just 25, 30 feet. So you move over there, and that is the end of your turn. You have used a bonus action to strike. You've used a main action to cast Thunder Wave, and you've leapt into the fray and moved around. That's a ton of action there, Tim, in round 2. It is now April's turn.
Okay, I only have 2 spell slots then.
You have used both of your first level spell slots. You have your cantrips left to you, but you cannot use Firebolt because that will not help you.
That will not help me at all.
Using Firebolt.
But you are a rogue and you have rogue-like things that you can use as well, do you not? So, what would you like to do with your turn there, April?
So, wait, is the fog gone or is it still there?
The fog has been blown away.
Okay.
Or at least half of it. All of the ones around the wolves have definitely dispersed.
Got a short bow and a rapier. April leaps down off of the tree. How?
You don't have to leap out of the treehouse. You're still standing there in the window. You've been using your diamond now for a little bit of time. The diamond is in the palm of your hand because you've been using it to cast your spell. Since you're standing there, your bow on your back, your quiver of arrows at your side, your diamond in your palm, as you finish that, this is where you're standing, looking through the window. What do you do next?
I want to say I have like an extra like pocket on like my belt or something that I can put it in so it's always with me.
Sure, yeah. You've got a little pocket for your special diamond. That makes perfect sense. You cinch it up and tie it nicely tight, as you always do. And then what do?
I grab my short bow and get ready to shoot.
It's already strung. You hold it in the one hand. You pull your arrow. Is your quiver the side where you draw the quiver from, or is it on the other side and you reach across to pull it?
Where I pull it from.
Ah, so the same hand. So you pull an arrow out. You flick the arrow. You hold it at the point at the end, and the arrow twirls, and your fletching is there, glinting in the light, and you knock it to the string. You pull back in one smooth and easy motion that you've so familiar with over the years, because you're only newly an arcane trickster,
yes.
And your abilities with a bow are par none. You see that Tim's spear is floating and antagonizing the black wolf. And this will allow you to make your sneak attack as you fire.
Please hit. I rolled a 16, so.
Hey, Savannah rolls bad.
Yeah. How'd you do?
I have rolled a 21.
Then you have assuredly hit their 13 armor class. Roll your damage with your sneak attack. Is there anything else you would like to do with your turn? You have a bonus action, and as a rogue, you have abilities to use dash,
hide. I don't know what else I
can. And there's a third one. Dash and hide. Would you like to hide as a bonus action?
Yes.
All right, definitely. Duck around the corner. You can make that check after you roll your damage. We'll move on, and I'll get it from you in a moment as we now turn to the NPCs who continue to flee to the house, and you can hear them call out, Bobby, Bobby, fire wolves! As we now go to Rita Harper's turn. Rita, you're flying above these fire wolves as they've gathered below. Tim is in their midst. What would you like to do?
I'm going to viciously mock one.
Excellent. What do you say?
Are any of them dead?
No. None of them have been defeated yet. Tim is amongst them, though.
I'll viciously mock the one that Tim is attacking.
Sounds great.
The black one's going to die with all of us attacking
him. He has failed his saving throw, so he will have disadvantage on his attack. And now please roll your damage while I ask April Reaper, how much damage did you do?
I did 15 damage.
Great. That's amazing. And how did you do on your hide check? How'd you do for damage there, Rita?
2. And the insult I'm throwing at it is, you are made of fire. Everything you love will burn at one touch.
Oh my God.
And you will never be able to show affection to anything because it will burn. You're all alone in this world. Alone, alone, alone you are.
Okay, I feel like I have disadvantage now.
You are.
Oh man. Okay. Have you hit?
I rolled the natural 20.
Oh my God.
the heart of
I was about to say the Lord's Own.
It is the wolves' turn. The wolves do not know who struck them true with an arrow. By the way, your arrow burns whoosh, out to ash, so definitely set it aside as it is not retrievable at this point.
That's one arrow I'm never getting back.
Yes, you say. The fletching is gone. The wolves espy Tim Portent standing there. One of the wolves, the black one, lashes over to him to strike him true with his teeth, burning, dripping lava. But he has disadvantage on his strike.
I'd like you to try that.
Yes, he has tried to hit you. I've rolled a 12 as my lowest because the other one's a 14. So with that, I am plus 6 to hit. So that is an 18. Is that enough to hit you with their attack? What is your armor class?
18.
Oh. Darn it. That is indeed enough to hit you. The wolf, despite being disadvantaged, strikes true and does 11 points of damage to you. And you must make a strength saving throw or be knocked to the ground. Oh no, he's been knocked deeply to the ground. Boom.
Nat 1.
Yep. With that terrible fail, he falls to the ground. Boof. It doesn't really matter. You're not going to be too concerned
about
getting up.
Every time I use this dice, it gives me a nat 1 now.
It's not being nice to you. It must feel like it has not been, it's being ignored. So that is the first wolf. Another wolf will charge over to you and have advantage on your prone form to strike you. It is hit as well with a 19 to hit, and you take another 11 points of damage. How many hit points do you have left now after taking 22 damage, Tim?
2 points.
Oh, no. The last one is attempting to he manages to recharge his breath. Rita, you're going to have to come to a landing. You cannot fly about because it is not capable for your character. That wolf is going to attempt to blow fire at your poor form up high as you're gliding around. I need you to make a saving throw, but you have advantage on it, of a dexterity saving throw with a DC of 12.
16.
Oh, so good. Yes, you've gotten out of the way of this fire breath that was billowing out towards you that would have done 18 fire damage to you and possibly killed you in that strike. So you're very lucky. As you get away from this wolf, it is now Tim's turn. Tim, you have 2 hit points. You're laying on the ground. 2 wolves are standing over you. What do you do?
Toll the dead and then use my spiritual weapon to pierce the other.
Okay, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Which one are you tolling the dead? The black wolf? You strike it with your spear as well?
The black wolf? Isn't there another one near me?
There's a black one and a yellow one. Why don't you take out the black one first?
Yeah, I'm going to take out the black one.
Strike with your spear while it makes its saving throw on your toll the dead. I failed the saving throw on the toll the dead. You get to roll a d12 for damage there. How much damage did toll the dead do?
9.
That's a lot of damage as you call out to Gaspard while laying on the ground and a bell rings and necrotic damage. You can see the black of the wolf goes more like gray as he almost turns to a black and white version of a color and he twitches and recoils from the damage of the dolorous bell, and you use the spiritual weapon to strike true, and you rolled what? You've been rolling that die around, so can you roll again?
I've got a 5 to hit.
Okay, so with that, you're plus 6, so that's 11 total, right? So 5 plus 6 is 11. Now here's the thing, that's not enough to hit, but you have been bardically inspired. Would you like to use your d6? If you roll a 2 or higher, you will hit.
You have a
Don't
1 and
roll
6.
A 1.
Off you. He gets a 5. He succeeds. You have hit with the spear. Roll your damage.
I already did. It's
and it was a? 7. A 7 plus your spellcasting ability is 4. That's 11 points of damage. Your spear kills the black wolf.
I wanted Woo! It to pierce through the sides of both of them.
You have only struck true and killed the black wolf and at that just barely. And you see you've done over 70 points of damage to this black wolf. It was bigger and stronger and more violent than the other 2 wolves, who definitely seem to have less hit points, therefore, than this one. Yes. But you have a hefty fight ahead of you, so make sure you do what you best can with your next attacks. It's too bad you can't use your sneak attack with Chromatic Orb.
I already used both my spell slots anyways.
I think you could have.
That would have been epic.
Sneak attack.
Snack.
Sneak attack plus Chromatic Orb.
Sneak attack or sneak attack?
Why, Slytherin?
Slither.
Hello, Slither.
Mimic attack.
I don't think you can.
That would have been cool.
Because it's an attack, and instead of making an attack, you're using your action to cast a spell. And even though you then get to make an attack roll with it, it's not, like, it's called a ranged spell attack. I'll look up the rules to see if you get to act. Okay, Tim, you've done your turn. Your turn was theatrical, and you killed the wolf. How do you want to describe how the black wolf passes away?
His blood drips out, and it's a black dark blood, and I cut his head off with my spiritual weapon, the spear, which has Gaspard's symbol on the tip.
Okay. Wow.
Gaspard's symbol was engraved onto it.
So this thing is composed entirely of fire, made flesh, made form. What happens to it?
It disintegrates. Turns to ash.
So is it like Spider-Man at the end of Infinity War?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but then the dust disappears.
Wow. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So the black wolf holds on to the front of you and says, I don't feel so good, Mr. Portence. I don't feel so...
And the only thing that's left is its blood.
Oh, it's blood sizzling on the ground. Cool, like liquid magma. Excellent. Well, it is April's turn. What are you doing, April?
Well, right now I'm hiding. April is going to shoot her short bow at the yellow one since it hasn't been hurt yet.
Love how the wolves just watch their leader die.
That would be a sight for them, just their leader.
Now I get to taunt them with their leader's death.
Goodness, I'm scared.
And water.
I'm scared.
No, my greatest fear, water.
Imagine putting a water balloon on an arrow and shooting it at them.
Yes.
Okay, you know what? The rules as written suggest that you cannot sneak attack a creature with your spell.
Okay.
But I'm going to say that if you're making a ranged spell attack, and then you would have the ability to add sneak attack damage to it, and it is a cantrip, then you can add your sneak attack damage. So you have not been casting, so your Chromatic Orb is a first level spell. It's already doing 3d8 damage, and you're focusing it through a gem. So I don't know if you're necessarily getting your sneak attack for that. But going forward, things like Firebolt and whatnot that you have for cantrips, I'll allow you to add your sneak attack damage to it, because I think it's an important part of being a rogue in the first place. Okay.
Sneak attacks.
Excellent. Other ones that you might want to consider, since you do a lot of damage with bows and other things, are spells like Hold Person, Hold Monster, Sleep, things like that, that will help you get around that, because you're already super awesome with attacks. So we'll take a look at your spell list in a bit here to see if it's in your best interest to retain the ones you currently have or make some simple changes, since you're only level 3 right now. Given that that's the case, what are your cantrips that you have?
I've got Mage Hand and Acid Splash and Firebolt.
Acid Splash would be a pretty good one. And I think that the yellow and the red wolf are both next to each other at this point. And so if you would like to throw your Acid Splash at them, what is the range of Acid Splash?
60 feet.
Then you totally can cast Acid Splash. What do you say when you, or if you would like to, you could also just shoot your bow from hidden if you would like to instead.
Sure, I'll do Acid Splash because that seems like it'd be effective.
Okay, cool. So you get to roll, and is it a saving throw or an attack roll?
Also, sneak attack bonus because I'm there.
Oh, yeah, I agree. That's fine.
A target must succeed on a dexterity saving throw.
All right, so the two of them have to make a dexterity saving throw in order to get away from this. What is the difficulty of that dexterity saving throw? It's not on the card. It's your spell save DC.
12.
They are plus 1 on dexterity, so if I roll 11 or higher, they both will succeed. One has a natural 1, and the other has a 12. The one with a natural 1 is the red wolf, which has already taken some damage, so you are going to get to roll your sneak attack damage plus the acid splash damage. While you roll all of that up and doubtlessly then return to hiding, we will move on to the NPCs. You cannot hear or see them anymore, and now it is Rita's turn.
Do I need to do a thing for Rita landing?
Rita comes to a land with a heavy land. You can either be prone or not, depending on what it is that you want to do with your turn.
I wanted to just Vicious Mox one of the...
Okay, cool. I point out how many hit points does Tim Portence have left, and how many hit points do you have left?
Yeah, we need to do Cure Wounds.
Yes. So you'd need to land and touch Tim in order to do that. So you're going to land right next to Tim and in amongst these wolves and Cure Wounds on Tim Portence.
But then I'm going to die. Okay, fine, whatever.
Well, do you have any other spells that you could cast that heal people?
No, I don't.
Okay, then I guess that's all you can do, because you don't have things like Healing Word or anything like that, right?
No.
Okay, cool. What other spells do you have? They're Bard?
Minor Illusion, Vicious Mockery, Light, Prestidigitation, Message, Cure Wounds, Disguise Self, Earth Tremor, Magic Mouth.
Okay, what does Crown of Madness do?
One humanoid of your choice.
Oh, there's no humanoids here, so yeah. Okay, not worthwhile. Dang it. Keep hoping for Crown of Madness to have an effect and impact.
Make us fight some evil humans.
You land and you crash next to Tim Portence and you cast Cure Wounds. What do you say?
Heal so we can fight these wolves.
That are right. Made of fire.
You touch Tim and he's laying on the ground. He hasn't even gotten up yet.
I land on him.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you land on top of him and you touch him on the chest and you heal him for his damage. Roll your healing, the amounts that you get to give back to him. And that is your turn. It is now the top of the round. It is the wolf's turn. Well, one wolf still has not regained his blast and charge back. The other one is going to roll to see if he's got his charge back. He rolls a d6. I have a 3, so he doesn't have his fire breath back either. So both of them only get to choose to do a bite.
7.
Plus your spellcasting modifier of charisma, which is 4. So you get 11 hit points back. Tim. So you're back up to 13 hit points. Is that right? All right. The wolves, seeing Tim still laying upon the ground, Rita standing, they choose to attack Tim because they have advantage doing so. So one of them will reach out to bite Tim brutally in the thigh and hit with a natural 16 plus 6 is 22. You take 11 points of damage.
These wolves are so OP.
They're so dangerous, aren't they? And I'm rolling really well to hit you. You're back down to 2 hit points, and the other wolf will attempt to bite Tim Portence as well.
Take my bad luck at rolling.
I have a natural 20. Tim's down, folks. I'll roll the dice. 2, so 8, 10, 13. Okay, so you're not dead, Tim. You're just dying. Wow. How many hit points do you have total, Tim? Like normally? What is your max?
25.
25? Okay, cool. Yeah. So you're down and you're at 0 hit points and dying on your turn. It is your turn. Your spiritual weapon vanishes away because you're unconscious and you need to make a death saving throw. Roll a d20.
9.
That is a failure. Your first failure on the death saving chart. That was Tim's turn as he lays there dying. As we turn now to April, what are you going to do, April?
Well, my damage for the acid splash was 9.
Perfect.
And I'm hiding again.
Yes, you've definitely hidden. So what do you want to do?
I want to shoot my bow, I think.
Perfect. Now, because you were hiding, you get to roll 2d20s. And when you roll 2d20s, you're going to roll advantage, and you're going to get to apply your sneak attack.
I rolled an 18.
That is enough to hit, absolutely. You shoot with your short bow, and you're going to roll and add your sneak attack damage to this. And before we move on to Robin, we'll need to know what's happening here. So do it up.
A lot.
Yeah?
16.
This creature is almost dead, but not quite. That was April's turn. Are you hiding again?
Yes.
All right. So you hide again, and it is now Rita's turn.
So I can't actually revive Tim.
Why not? All you have to do is cast Cure Wounds, and suddenly he has hit points, and he's back up on his feet.
Okay.
Is that what you would like to do, or do you want to do something else?
I kind of want to do something else, but I feel like I have this dumb.
Sure. What else would you like to do?
No, I'll save Tim.
Yeah? Save Tim. Excellent. What do you do? You're still touching him from the last time, and he gets bitten, raped by the wolves.
I'm going to roll.
Okay. You're going to use another second level spell. How many hit points is that?
15.
Wow. Plus your spell casting modifier.
Oh, right.
I already did the math.
How much is it? 15 plus 4 is?
19.
Wow. You are one off the max you can possibly do with a cure. So what is the color of this? This is an amazing cure wounds. What do you say when you do it at a second level and bring Tim almost back to the full brink of life?
I feel like Rita is immensely angry that these dumb wolves are here hurting her friend. So Rita probably like gives these wolves who have no facial recognition skills just the glare of aggression. And then because she's basically either like Tim was standing or something.
He was laying on the ground dying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she basically just fell on Tim anyway. And
yes.
They bit.
So what do you do?
She puts her hands on Tim's shoulder, shakes him a little, and is like, get up, Tim. It's time to wake up. We've got wolves to fight. Come on.
But you have to do it in song, right? So it is your healing spell. What do you say at second level that's so powerful?
She says that, but then she's like, oh, wait. Gotta sing it. Wake up. Gotta wake up, Tim. Yeah. Gotta wake up. You can't go dying on me. Gotta wake up.
I love it. Would you like to spend a white gem?
Why?
Because Tim is currently laying on the ground and the wolves are about to get a turn. And if Tim is laying on the ground and they see he's been revived, they will bite him and they have advantage on the attack. But if you spend the white gem, Tim can rise to his feet and stand before them with his shield and not give them advantage on the attack. Cool. I will point out, however, they're wolves, and if they attack next to each other, they get to have advantage on the attack, but I'm going to take that away because their leader's gone. So you've spent the white gem. Describe for me what happens then as you change the story and allow yourself this extra bit of something to do.
It's always the assumption that we're in a tavern, right?
Right.
This very short, like, old lady starts going, you don't know the story! That's not how it went!
Yeah, Grandma!
Get him, Grandma. My grandfather told this story. Tim rose to his feet and he was fine.
Okay, that sounds great. The power of the heal rose Tim to his feet, and it is the wolf's turn. He's got his shield ready, and the two wolves will now attack Tim Portents with their claws and fangs, hoping to drive him to death's brink again. By the way, Tim, because you've been healed, that death saving throw that you made is erased.
Just in case I made another one, just in case I die, it was a success.
Oh, nice. Well, you did not have to make it. It is the wolf's turn. They will attack you. I have rolled to see if their breath weapons recharged, and neither of them did with a 1 and a 2 again. Otherwise, you were both making dexterity saving throws, and we know how both you're good at that. So here we go. Okay, 1 has hit you, Tim. The other got a 17. to hit you, but that's not enough. Your shield bashes against that one as it blocks the snarling, fiery wolves' strike. And this one here, with its natural 16, is a 22, so you take again 11 points of damage, driving you down to 7 hit points. You know that if a wolf strikes you again, you will fall towards death once more. The wolf clavers and gets past your guard and bites you deeply into the hip, burning and singeing you with its lava-ridden teeth. It is your turn, Tim Portents.
You hurt me? You hurt me? You hurt me. Now it's time to die. I toll the dead.
Yes, you toll the dead with your action. Is there anything you'd like to do with a bonus action?
Summon my spiritual whip.
How many second level spell slots do you have, Tim? Because I believe it is a second level spell.
Bonus action.
Right, but it has to do with your spell slots. So, you have cast one. Is Thunderwave a first level spell or a second level spell, friends?
Yeah, because I got it right away. Yeah, it's a first.
So yes, you have a second level spell slot again, and you could cast Spiritual Weapon again if you would like to. So you do both. You cast Spiritual Weapon. It appears. Is it still the spear?
No, it changed back.
Wow, normally these things don't change back and forth, but it's cool that it is.
It changed back to one of Gaspard's rapiers.
I love it. That's beautiful.
And it's even tied up by a ribbon.
You're just so colorful. That's great. So that spiritual weapon appears with your plea to Gaspard as you also toll the dead in the one round. You cast the cantrip and the bonus action cast. So roll your attack with the spiritual weapon.
Is 10 enough?
10 is more than enough because you get to add your proficiency bonus and your wisdom skill throw. So I think that's like 16 total. So you have succeeded at hitting with the spiritual weapon. And as well, the creature has failed its death save. So this one is the red wolf is being tolled the dead. Roll your damage.
9.
You kill the wolf with the toll the dead. So your spiritual weapon instead attacks the yellow wolf, the one wolf remaining.
I was going to attack it anyways.
Yeah, well, now you're lucky that you get to because you killed the other one. So this spiritual weapon does a D8 plus 4. Roll it up.
7.
7 points of damage. It is pretty hurt, but not super badly hurt that it might not get a turn, depending what Rita and April do. April, it is your turn. What do you do?
I'm going to shoot with my short bow again.
Of course. Yes, you leap out from hiding. Now, what was your hide check on the last one?
14. Plus.
That's enough. Yes, okay. You've hidden from the wolf again. Yeah. They have no idea you're shooting from this window, and you fire down with your advantaged attack.
I rolled both 17s.
Again, what did you get?
22.
Holy
total.
Really? Jeez, you're doing really well today. Roll your damage.
10.
That's it? Wow. What do you want to do, Rita Harper?
Together, we've done 17 damage.
Actually, I should probably heal myself, but I don't have enough spell slots for that, so I'm going to viciously mock him.
Perfect. That's a really good idea. Having it have disadvantage on its strike against Tim will be very helpful.
Which one is the most injured one?
Well, the black one is the most injured one because it's weighted to ash. The red one is dead from the toll of the dead, and it's literally it just melted into a puddle in the ground. So the only one left is the yellow one, and it is technically, since it's the only one here, the most injured.
Okay, sure.
So viciously mock it. I will make my saving throw. I think I succeeded. I have an 18. What do you say?
I had a really good one in mind.
Yeah, what did you say?
But it didn't work.
Well, if it's really awesome and it makes me laugh, I might choose to roll a disadvantage and then take a second d20.
Sure. Oh, look at you. You're the coward of the group. The one who held out waiting for all your friends to do all of the work. The brightest and the happiest. The one who could never hurt anyone.
I liked it. I wish you'd said something about being a yellow-bellied coward because it's the yellow-colored one.
Yeah.
But I liked yours enough that I will roll with disadvantage. And I have a 16 and an 18. It totally succeeds. So it does not have disadvantage on its strike. It is its turn as it looks and slavers and drips yellow magma from its mouth and tries to chomp you there, Tim. I rolled a natural 2. And so therefore he misses entirely and cannot get past you and your spiritual weapon and your shield to fight you and rally upon
you. I
want to
say that
you.
He bonks into my shield.
So what do you do on your turn, Tim?
Toll the dead.
All right, you told the dead it'll make its saving throw.
And spiritual weapon.
I have totally succeeded on the saving throw, so it does not.
What about spiritual
weapon? But the
weapon?
Spiritual weapon gets to make an attack roll. You have succeeded in hitting it again with your spiritual weapon, so roll your d8 plus your 4 and give me the total while we turn to April, who is doubtlessly from hiding if she hid this time.
I rolled a natural 20.
Oh my good.
The heart of Humblewood.
Perfect.
Okay.
Natural 20 means you just still have advantage.
Yeah.
Roll again. Natural 20 again or no?
No.
All right. So you 21. Definitely hit. Oh my goodness. You're destroying this thing. Roll your damage while Tim tells me what he got on his D8.
9.
Wow, the creature is getting really, really badly wounded as we look to see how much damage April Reaper did.
10.
Again? 10 on 3d6?
I got 4, 2, 1.
Yep, that's that. You're not getting tons on those, but that's okay. The creature looks almost dead. In fact, if you were to succeed at slashing it with your rapier, you might kill it if you would like to, Rita.
Yeah, sure. Let's use my rapier.
All right. You move around Tim. You've been hiding behind him. You dash around Tim, come at the flank of the creature, and you roll to attack. Would you like to spend a moat to have advantage on this?
I have a white gem ready just in case.
Wow. You want to spend a white gem on this?
Yeah.
Well, Robin spent a blue gem, which gives her advantage on the strike. So roll 2d20s and take the higher of the two.
So with an 8.
Oh, you've definitely hit with an 18.
No, I have bonuses and stuff.
I know. Add them all up.
That would even beat my armor class.
Oh, no, it's a 21.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's just as good as Rita did. Now roll your
Rita.
Rita.
As April did. Roll your D8 plus 1.
9.
9 damage? How does it die?
Okay, so I think we have a happy accident. Rita was going for, like, the side of it, but she hasn't used her rapier a lot, so the angling was slightly off, and she ended up stabbing it through, like, the base of its neck, and so the throat and everything, so it makes this guttural cry of, like, aah! Before it falls, and then just crackles, and, like, half of it falls apart before turning into just dust.
And I think the head, like, flies over the fence.
What? It's not real. It's made of magma and fire. So wouldn't that... Can I add to that?
Sure.
It was about to get its fire breath back.
Yeah.
And you stabbed it through the throat at the exact right moment. As the fire breath came out, it gushes into the air and away from the party so it doesn't splatter you. Maybe it splatters and does 1 point of damage or something like that. It's fire gouts out from the creature, but the fire continues to gout and the whole entire body of the wolf is all that fire and whatnot too is pulled through it and it just washes out in a gunk of sludge that quickly cools in the afternoon light and you're left with a smear of smudged lava magma burning the ground, but no wolf remains of sentient consciousness. You're injured. You're wounded.
I have 3 hit points.
The stillness and silence of the conclusion of the battle is marred only by your heavy breathing and your sighs of relief as you bend and put hands on knees and pant and think about your grievous burned wounds. The 3 of you stand there in the cool stillness of the day. What do you do?
We gotta go check on the rest of the people in the house.
And Baba.
April quickly jumps out of the tree. I was like, oh my gosh, are you guys okay?
Yes.
No, April, I'm not okay. I have 3 hit points.
You've been sniping.
I'm very badly wounded.
I didn't leave the treehouse.
You did not leave the treehouse even once. You're looking perfectly fine.
Why don't we go inside and have a fresh cup of tea?
We loved him in this household.
Did you find anything in that hole? Because I found a box and pulled it out.
No, there was something that felt like a sack. I could go grab it.
Yeah. I'm going to go grab that
Rita,
box.
Like, hobbles over.
Here, let me help you, Rita.
Excellent.
Yeah. I also hobble over.
Yeah, you're both grievously wounded as you fetch the things from inside the trees. There is a large, weighty, almost like a really well-oiled sack that's in there that's sealed up with wax at the top. And it jingles when you pull it out.
Oh, it's
it
money.
Weighs probably 40 pounds.
It's gold.
The box that you have found is a large rectangular box that is made of beautiful wood that is lacquered and sealed, and the box itself clasps and holds true. It is probably 2 feet long by a foot wide and maybe 8 inches or so deep. That is up in the treehouse. You climb back up to the treehouse, being tender with your wounds. You pull the box out and you bring it down.
We should go inside and show Free Meriden's sister what we found.
You do. You head inside. Bobby's there talking to them, what he says, and they are overjoyed and beyond happy that you've saved the day.
Jeez, Bobby, man. Like, there was fire. It was,
I also want to say that all of the blood is on top of us.
Oh, yeah. You're,
we just well, come in splattered.
Burned and covered in smoke and ash from these wolves. And you stumble into the house with this heavy, heavy sack and this really nice box. So there was something in the tree, says Frey Meriden's sister.
Why don't we open this box and sack?
Well, what do you open first?
A box.
All right, you open up the box. The box has a simple clasp. It is not locked. Inside the box is a short sword. Golden bladed short sword with a black hilt and strange, almost like you think you can make them out upon the blade in black runes. Some sort of writing that only appears when the light glimmers against the blade. Nestled in amongst velvet and well protected, there is no scabbard, just the sword. The pommel stone is a black opal, a huge stone itself set perfectly in the hilt of the sword, and then against the cross guard is also in this black metal, not golden like the sword itself, rests this gorgeous short sword.
Wow.
Can we open the sack now?
Tim, seeing that nothing there is of any interest to him, immediately moves and opens up the sack. And inside the sack is like 1,000 gold pieces and gems and other valuables. Nice. That all adds up to around 1,000 gold.
Ooh.
Nice.
We are already rich.
No, they're not for us.
Yeah, bro.
So we should give them.
Frey Meriden's sister says, this is amazing and would change our lives so ever much. I cannot accept. You saved our lives today. Please pick one of the two to keep for yourselves. I know my sister, as diabolical as she was at times, and definitely untrue, has given us a great boon in her death.
They need the money more than us.
Well, know they could easily just sell the short sword. So if the short sword is not something the party wants to have, you could take the money instead.
I need to read that book the chicken guy gave me.
Indeed.
I say short sword. I don't know about this.
April hungrily looks at the short sword.
Just take it. Seriously. Just take it. Stop looking at it like it. Go eat it.
Go eat it. Go eat your golden chicken nugget.
All right. You pick up the short sword and hold it in your hand. It feels weighted perfectly. And you are holding in your hand a +1 magical weapon. So you get to add +1 to your attack rolls and +1 to your damage rolls when using a short sword. But this short sword is greater than that. You don't know the extent of its greatness as you have not attuned to the weapon yet.
Great. Now everyone has a magical weapon except for me.
You've saved our lives, Frey Meriden's sister says.
Thank you so much,
says the little boy. They wish to put you up for the night as you need to tend to your wounds. And you all look very badly hurt and cannot continue with your travels. Do you wish to stay in their home this evening?
Of course. We don't want to have to go through the fires again to get back to on the road, and it seems like a good thank you.
Then you are given a home-cooked meal that none of you have to cook, although Bobby has to help because he didn't do anything else. And you are closer, ever closer, to returning to the Birdfolk Council in Alderheart with your kind of terrible news of, well, we didn't kill her and we've decided to work with her. And so we will get to that and the return to Alderheart and all of the things that you have collected and accomplished and find out more about this sword that you have gathered up next time.
Wait, is my hammer plus like special?
Is it?
It's like spider eggs.
You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into?
Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more of the adventure. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. Find their music on iTunes or check them out at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes or check us out on Twitter at tavern_tales. See you all later!
I'm wondering if you come wandering my way. If you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word.